Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another installment of The Road to the NFL series here at the National Football Post. I am your host, Joe Fortenball, joined as always by co-host and NFP Director of College Scouting, Wes Bunning. We're here to get after it today, back after a short hiatus. It's tourney time around the country. Everyone's thinking about their brackets, which is something I'm not going to lie about. I've been doing it as well, but we're also closing in on the NFL draft, and we're going to continue our series today with another hot prospect. But before we get to that, Bunning, you're back in the fold. You were away for a week. Big news, big news. Wes Bunning is now married, ladies and gentlemen. Wes, how's it feel? You tied the knot. You had a Mexican honeymoon. How was everything?
Oh, the honeymoon was awesome. I'm a happy married man. Life couldn't be better, Joe.
And you trimmed the beard for your lovely wife, Liz. You finally cleaned yourself up. She was looking beautiful. You, not so much, but you did trim the beard, if I'm not mistaken.
I couldn't look like an animal going into that. I went to the rehearsal dinner, or as I like to call the walkthrough, the day before, Joe. Yeah, I was looking, like a wild Grizzly Adams man, and everyone was worried, are you shaving or are you not? I said, I'm shaving, relax. Came up, had to clean myself up a little bit, but things went off well. I mean, no one's looking at me anyway, so it was good.
Almost as much hype surrounding what the Rams will do with the number one pick is what you would do with the beard. It's good to see you cleaned it up and shocked the world with that one, so to speak. Now, on the honeymoon, the pina coladas. You saw me drinking them in the video down in South Beach for the Super Bowl. You decided to give them a try. How'd those work out?
Oh, absolutely, Joe. I mean, 9:30, you're lounging on the beach. People are coming up to you.
9:30 a.m.
A.M., obviously. They're serving you. I mean, you have to just crush pina coladas all day. I mean, Liz had a good time. She was loving, had the pina colada fever as well. I mean, the beach was beautiful. We'd come back for lunch. We had a tough decision then, beach or pool. We'd usually go back to the beach. I mean, I put on probably 5-10 pounds doing absolutely nothing, but so totally worth it.
Well, the last thing you want to do is insult the hotel staff by not having a pina colada at 9:30 a.m. If they're going to come around and offer you one, who are you to say no? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. I mean, we had mimosas for breakfast, and you come right out, boom, pina colada. I mean, life is good, Joe.
Well, we're all glad to hear everything is going well. We're glad to have you back in the mix here as we begin this push towards the NFL draft. Let's cut the BS and get down to business because we got a big one here today joining us for the road to the NFL series. All right, without wasting any more time, let's welcome our next guest to the road to the NFL series here at the National Football Post. This man needs no introduction, but since it's radio, I've got to do it anyway. 2009 All-American, 2009 Big East Special Teams Player of the Year. He holds numerous career records at the University of Cincinnati, including receiving yards, receiving touchdowns, and kick return touchdowns, just to name a few. Ladies and gentlemen, wide receiver Marty Gilliard. Marty, thanks for coming on the show today, man. We appreciate it.
Oh, man, no problem. Thank you guys for having me on.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Now, listen, we hear that you're on your way home from Florida right now. What were you doing down there this past weekend?
My city was honoring me. They called it Gilliard Day the Saturday just passed. So it's just a way for everybody who hasn't seen me since I graduated to come in and see me, and for me to pitch a message to the kids, and then for me to launch my foundation. It's just a lot of stuff intertwined with it. Just because I'm one of the only two guys, I think I'm the only guy here in the last probably 30, 40 years who's ever had a chance to play any pro sports besides my cousin Edward. He plays pro soccer, but not too many kids back home play soccer, so I'm the most recent hero back home, so it's time to, I don't know.
Marty, this is Wes here, but so much has been made about the off-the-field things you do, your background, but from a football perspective right now, what has this past couple months been like? You guys, the magical run you had at Cincinnati, then getting ready for the Senior Bowl, the Combine, Pro Day. Do you feel at ease right now that it's all but over and now the draft's pretty much the last thing you're looking towards?
Yeah, it's just a waiting game. That's what I call it. That's my kind of game. I like to chill out, man, and relax. You know, I'm going to have a chance to do a little fishing. Probably this weekend I'll drive down to Kentucky Lake and do some heavy fishing on Kentucky Lake. And then when I get home, I'm trying to get home a week before the draft just so I can get me a whole lot of deep sea fishing there with my dad. You know, both my dads. You know, just have a chance to just enjoy my life, man, and just enjoy myself. Not catch football, not worrying about catching football, because I'm going to have a chance to catch as many footballs, you know, as I can, so.
Marty, you've got one of the
blessed.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
You've got one of the best backstories of any player entering this year's draft. Your first 2 years at Cincinnati, you were a cornerback. You lost your scholarship due to academics, and you were actually living in your car for about 6 months in 2006 before making a comeback that has gotten you to this point, which culminated with being named an All-American last year at Cincinnati. Talk about that experience. You know, a lot of people in that situation, it'd be easy to throw in the towel and go in a different direction. You stuck with it. Talk about what it was like going through those times and what brought you back to what led you to today.
It was really a down period, you know, in my life. Now, the way I explain it was, I tell a lot of kids, when I explain the story to them, it depends on where we're at. You know, if we're like on the grass field, I tell a lot of kids to take their hands and scratch the ground hard as they can and then look at their nails, you know, if they have dirt in it. And I'd be like, that's me. That's where I was. In that particular time in life, I was the lowest of the low. You know, you can't get too lower than dirt. Well, molten rock, but we can't dig that deep. So, but I tell the kids this so they can understand how low I really was, you know. And I let those kids know that I just had a hole in mind, you know. I wanted to be the first one in my family to be able to play professional sports. I wanted to be the first one in my city, to my knowledge, to get out and play professional sports. And to just stop the whole cycle that's going on back home in my city, which was just everyone feels like they're content on just graduating out of high school, like that's just A-OK. And so all the kids, they graduate out of high school and then jump right into the dope game. So I took it upon myself to stop that cycle and show the kids, hey, all you need to do is just go to school, man, and stay positive. I'm not asking you to be a scholar, you know, because everybody's not going to be a scholar. Mm-hmm. You just go to school and just put forth your best foot. And just try your hardest, and, you know, the best will be able to come out. And so, I mean, just through that whole experience, it just showed me, you know, I gained a heavy faith. You know, I leaned on God a lot because he's the one who's carried me through that whole situation. You know, my mom always says, well, son, God has a plan for you. You're a special boy. You know, you're a real special boy. And everybody tells me this all the time, you know, Marty, you're real special, man. I don't know what it is about you, but you're a special guy. You know, you got a lot of things that you just do, and it just looks so natural, you know. And with that in mind, you know, I did a lot of praying through that whole downfall. That whole down period in my life, you know, I had a chance to just sit back and view myself as a person, and it was ugly, man. You know, I was like real immature. I wasn't a nice person to be around. It was just like, you know, I couldn't even imagine like how I was when I viewed it. You know, I was real arrogant and cocky. I was real disrespectful to people. You know, the total opposite of what I am now. I wish I turned the whole 360, but. And in a 360, you just end up right back where you started at. So I always tell people I ended up doing a total 180. Because I ended up just opposite of where I was.
Was there a specific moment during that period where you kind of looked at yourself and realized something needs to change?
Probably week three into it.
Week three?
Week three into that first month, you know, right into that area. I was just like, man, you need to do something, dude. You know, you can't be just sitting here not doing nothing. You know, you want to play football. What are you going to do? You got to make a decision. Are you going to play football or you're not? So I just made two prayers to the Lord. I said, Lord, I pray that you give me football back. And if you give me football back, you know, I promise you I'll do right with it. And then I also said, Lord, but if you don't give me football back, I'm going to be man enough to take whatever you have in your plans for me on the chin. So that way, that right there, when I said those prayers, I just knew I grew up.
At that point, Marty, were you in your car, you're praying, hoping you can come back, play football again. Did you ever think that this kind, you know, All-American honors, being a potential top draft pick, would be coming your way?
I didn't. I honestly didn't. I actually thought I was done with football, period. You know, because I knew we got a new coaching staff and they didn't know anything about me and so on and so forth. So I honestly thought I didn't have a chance to even play again.
Marty, can you talk about the new coaching staff as well? We've heard about Mark D'Antonio and then Brian Kelly coming in. Can you talk about your relationship with him initially, him giving you kind of, I guess, a second chance? Did you two click right away, or was there any animosity? You know?
It wasn't any animosity between me and BK. You know, that's boss man. You know, I thank him all the time for even giving me the opportunity to showcase my skills and play again. Without him, so, you know, the day I met him, I can remember him just saying, you know, it's guys that you never understand, son. I mean, people just took their neck out on the line for you to come back and play. They said, you can be that just different man for the team. Can you be that? And I was like, you know, yeah, coach, you know what I'm saying? And so he was like, well, you got two choices. You got to turn the towel and just not be a Bearcat anymore, or you can bust your butt and pay this bill off that you have for $10,000. And if you take care of that, and then I'll care of mine. He showed me a special paper. It was already filled out. It just needed his signature line. And so with that said, I just went head first into as an adult. I just said, hey, I got bills to pay. Let's get it. I got to do it the best way I can.
Marty, when Coach Kelly first got to Cincinnati, he pulled you aside and asked you what jersey number you wore, and you told him number 19. What did he say when you told him that?
Funny, he would look at me kind of like, you know how you kind of look and kind of get a head shake, like, wow. He gave me that one, and he's like, son, you don't look like a 19. I was about one. And the number one hasn't been around UC for a little while. You know, the coaches had sent it away. It felt like it was a bunch of taking to one guy, and the previous coaches were all about team, you know. Team game, you know, players need to be about team, and the number one just draws a whole lot of attention. So he was like one, and I was like, you know, wow. Coach, you know, and these are the quote-unquote words I'm using, you know, coach, I don't know, man, you know, it's a lot of responsibility that comes into one. And he was like, well, son, you're working your butt off and pay this bill off, so how much responsibility, how much more responsibility do you need? And I was like, you know, kind of looked at him like, well, you got a point. He's like, well, how about this? In a couple days, we're going to have a team meeting. You be at that team meeting. And then he was like, we're going to pass out white slips, and we're going to ask everyone what their number is. If you put one on that sheet of paper, I guarantee you, you'll be one.
Marty, can you talk?
Number one on there. I'm sorry. And I put that number one on there, and next week, you know, the roster came, and I was one.
Marty, can you talk about your experience at the Senior Bowl this year? Obviously, playing in the Big East, you see a ton of talented corners week in and week out, but it's a whole nother level down at the Senior Bowl. Can you talk about who the best players you faced down there was?
It had to be a mixture of guys. Mainly the guys on my team, to be honest. Devin was real strong during the week. Kyle Wilson was real strong during the week. And as far as the South Side was concerned, I like Jerome Murray from South Florida. Those three guys right there stood out to me. Just because Jerome brought that physical, real street part of the game to it. And Kyle Wilson and McCourty were just technicians, man. They were like professors of the game. You know, so that's what made those three guys in the whole sense. So it had to be a three-way tie between Devin McCourty, Kyle Wilson, and Jerome Murray.
Marty, you were in Indianapolis. I actually heard a story that they brought you on a radio show the one night. You did such a good job that they had you back to host. And when you were hosting the next night, you brought linebacker Sean Witherspoon from Missouri and another buddy of yours, wide receiver Jacoby Ford from Clemson, onto the show. You guys all played on the North team at the Senior Bowl together. We noticed down there during practice that week, you guys gelled as a team very quickly, and that was probably one of the big reasons you won that game so well, so handily, I should say, on Saturday. Talk about what that experience was like working as a team, and are you guys all staying in touch? Has everyone that you met down there kind of kept in touch throughout this process?
Yeah, I'm our best friends. You know, it's kind of funny. I told the guys, like, man, like, I think it was in the Lord's plan for us to meet each other. You know, well, including myself, I think I was part of the clown out of the bunch. Me and you know, we really enjoyed ourselves. And right before the game, I told the team, and I was like, you guys, when I tell you this, I mean this with everything in my heart, and this is why we're going to win this game. I was like, we came in Monday at five individual fingers. I was like, you can't strike a mighty blow with five individual fingers. I was like, but Tuesday and Wednesday, I was like, those five fingers, and we slowed them to a fifth. And I was like, that's what the fan is. That's what the families need to be, a fifth. And I was like, well, we are now, we're a fifth. I was like, we can develop a mighty blow fifth. And I was like, Ali, Tyson, Floyd Mayweather. I was like, thank you those fifths that have been laid on people. I was like, those are the mighty blows. And everybody just kind of looked at me like, yeah. You know, they kind of like, yeah, you have a point. You know, yeah. And then I was like, that's why we're going to win the game. We're not going to win the game because we're five individuals. Like the South team, I'm not knocking them. I said, they're teenagers right now. They're getting caught up off this hype over Tebow and all these other guys. They got a lot of down there. It is what it is. I said, but we're the guys that don't get credit for anything. We're the guys that just not those high-profile players, per se, so to speak. I was like, so we're going to develop this mighty fist, and we're going to deliver a mighty blow in the game. And it's going to start from off kickoff. And those guys, they went out, and we were so hyped, and we were so amped going out that tunnel. It was like we've been playing with each other for 4 or 5 years.
Marty, can you talk about the next step in the process then, the NFL Combine, the Pro Day? Your numbers were significantly better at the Pro Day. Were you just more comfortable there going through it a second time? Can you talk about the Combine, though, and then the improvements you made at the Pro Day?
I had more training leading into my Pro Day. I mean, I only literally had 3.5 weeks going into the Combine of training just because out of the Senior Bowl, my body was beat up. You know, my hands were real stuff. I had tweaked my hammy a little bit, so I didn't do too much of training. My trainer kind of laid off on me a lot. So only really going into the Combine, really had about 3 weeks of training. So I had a chance to get another week and a half training in it. I mean, that showed, you know, I had a trainer, you know, and with that in mind, I just kind of went into it, closed my eyes, got down the hill, and I was just like, hey, man, this is the last time I can perform for any fans that might be watching you in the stadium. So I just kind of just took that deep breath, I prayed, and I just went out and had fun.
Growing up, Marty, who was one player in the NFL that you kind of looked up to and tried to model your game after?
I'm proud of the Spurs. I love Ocho Cinco, man. I mean, it's just no matter how outrageous Big Bro get, you know, he just seems like he's always open. He finds a way to just, you know, he has a reason to talk all that smack that he does. You know what I mean? So he literally gets open. You know, can't nobody say they can literally guard him. You know what I mean? And more times than none, he's getting open. And then the smoothness of Santonio is almost effortless when he runs his route and out of his brace and so on and so forth. You know, I like those guys. And as far as returning, I like Devin Hester, you know. Dante Hall, the X Factor from a few years ago.
Dante Hall.
From the Chiefs. Dante Hall. Those guys, like, I tried to model my game after because teams were afraid to kick it. They still are afraid to kick it to Hester, and they were afraid to kick it to Hall. You know, these were the guys that, like, literally changed the game. And Ocho is, like, he's a guy that I've been watching for the last 5 years, had a chance to get to grow and know. He's like my big brother now. And just watching him do his thing on the field, and then watching Santonio do his thing, you know, because the combination of those four guys, you know, I just feel like I modeled my game up.
You talk about an X factor. That's exactly what you were at the beginning of that Illinois game. They made that mistake at the end of the season, kicking the ball to you. You took that thing right to the house.
I try to, man. I try to be a threat anytime I touch the ball, whether it's handoffs or a little screen passes or kickoffs, punts. I'm like, I'm gonna make them pay for kicking me the ball or putting the ball in my hand.
Marty, you're a Cincinnati guy talking about Ocho Cinco. Would the Bengals not be a perfect fit for you?
I think it would be a perfect fit, you know, but I don't have no control over that stuff. You know, the fans are raving. I mean, everywhere I go, the fans are like, here in the city, are just like, you know, Marty, we just hope you stay home, brother. Just stay home. You know, please stay home. You know, it's just kind of funny. They even got a website at draftmarty.com. I'm trying to disguise the fans trying to get me to go there and go there. It's crazy, man. They got T-shirts out all over the place, and they just want me home, you know. And I mean, this is my home. Cincinnati's my home. Cincinnati the best. You know, I would love to stay there. You know, I told that teasing everybody. I said, if I could pull an Eli Manning move, I'd stay in Cincy. But, again, I don't have control over that stuff, man. You know, so hopefully I end up there. If not, wherever I go, you know, I'm going to be a great asset to the team, and I'm going to put everything I have into that team and just be that role player that I need to be, and also be that actor that I need to be.
Well, sorry, Wes, you go ahead.
Well, with the Bengals aside, Marty, what team so far, have you had any private workouts set up or anything, or who do you think has shown the most interest in you up until this point?
Last week I finished a workout with the Broncos. The Browns, was actually my second time meeting with the Browns. I met with them at the Combine. They came in and worked me out again after I told them. Later on today, I'll meet with the Patriots. And, I mean, those are pretty much the teams that have been calling a lot. You know, trying to get a little more extra stuff here, extra stuff there. So,
Going back to the Cincinnati Bengals, what we were talking about, Marty, you actually have the same agent that the late Chris Henry had. You and him had a relationship. Talk a little bit about that and how at the Senior Bowl, you actually wanted to wear number 15 to honor him.
Yeah, I mean, Slim, that, God bless his soul. I had a chance to know the real Slim. You know what I mean? And it was shocking to everybody, and to even open up to somebody like me. because Slim don't open up to nobody. And we was actually planning on going to the Sugar Bowl, driving down to the Sugar Bowl together. But, you know, it's been the Lord's plan for us to go down there together. I mean, I just have to grow and know him, you know, over the past few years. I know his little brother, I know his wife and kids, you know what I mean? And it's just like, that whole relationship with Slim, you know, especially when he was younger, it was like, you know, it was just kind of like the media really chewed up and spit him out. And it was just like kind of hard, you know, as a friend looking at guy who you know how he is, and he's portrayed as a negative guy. And then I just like, I wanted him to be at that game, especially the Sugar Bowl. I wanted him to be at the Sugar Bowl so bad because it was in New Orleans. He's from New Orleans, and he's my big dog. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. with that whole experience, like he actually co-signed for Dave Lee, my agent. He said, if you need an agent, man, I'll be good, man. I'll be good for you. When that time comes, he's like, honestly, take a serious look at players rep and Dave Lee in particular. He was like, because he's the most, he played a major role in helping me change my life over and be good. You know, a lot of people don't know that Dave Lee had a real, real major, major part in Chris Henry's whole turnaround. And I thank Dave for that because I see, wow, that he's my agent because he's so humble. He's so, like, well-rounded. He's such a people person. He just cares about his players. He could care less about making money off of us. He just wants us to be the best that we can be, you know, as far as being people, mm-hmm. you know, and that's what I liked about Chris. You know, me and Chris went out to dinner, you know, and stuff like that and just talked, you know, and just sucked when he broke his arm or, excuse me, when he broke his forearm just because he wanted to play ball, but he wanted to show everybody how popular he can be. And he didn't get a chance to really show that. I mean, he was having spurts of it during the season just to let everybody know, hey, Slim is back. You know, I just want to let you know Slim is back. But in the same token, it just sucked that he passed away. You know, I heard off of it. And then leading the ball, I actually wore around my waist my whole time warming up. I had my recipe team shirt. I had that tucked in my waistline so everyone could see it, so everybody could know. You know, this is my brother, this is my dog. I wanted to wear 15 in the Senior Bowl. Just for the simple fact that I wanted to just honor my man. You know what I mean? The guy who I always told, man, give it to him on the field. You don't hold nothing back. You make sure you give it to him. You know, and then Ocho was Slim's mentor. You know, Slim's big brother, too. It's just like he's my big brother. And they both preach the same thing. When you're on that field, there's no time for let-ups. You have no time for let-ups. You have to make sure that you give it to him. You know, and that's the thing that Slim always made sure that I knew. He was watching us. You know, he always say, son, he'd be like, I'm watching you, son. You're looking good out there, son. You know, keep doing your thing for us. You know, and it just seems like I hear him all the time when I'm out there catching balls or, you know, things of that sort. And so it was a blessing for me to even run into these guys. I think it was a blessing for me, period, in Cincinnati, to run into people like Ocho and Slim. Because those guys literally helped me be the wide that I am today.
If when you get to the NFL, no matter what team it is, do you want to wear number 15?
I do. I honestly do. Without a shadow of a doubt, I want to wear 15 if I can get it. You know, if we can figure it out, I don't need to get 15. I would literally want to wear that number because I want to give it to him like Slim gave it to him. I want to just do it like Big Bro wanted me to do it.
Mario, this is the last question for me, but talk about your draft day, what you're picturing. What's it going to be like when you hear your name called, hopefully Thursday, maybe Friday, maybe Saturday, whenever it is, but when your name scrolls across the board, what are the emotions that are going to go through your mind?
I'm just going to be relieved. I'm going to be like, Lord, I did it. You know, Lord, I really did it. Look at my mama, grandmama, say, y'all ain't have to worry about nothing because they tried their hardest with me as a child for me not to worry about anything, you know. So with that in mind, I'm just gonna look at those two ladies and be like, hey, y'all ain't gotta worry about nothing. I'm gonna look up to the sky first before I even look at you. I'm gonna say, thank you, Lord, thank you, because you brought me this way. Without you, none of this would be possible. And then I'm going fishing.
Marty, man, listen, thanks a lot for taking the time to join us here at the National Football Post. Best of luck with all the training coming up in the next few months and with all the workouts you have for the teams, man. We truly wish you the best of luck, and we look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thank you guys so much.
That was wide receiver Marty Gilliard, formerly of the Cincinnati Bearcats and one of the top prospects heading into this April's draft. Wes, what'd you think? The guy, That guy's a great interview. Where do you see him fitting with certain teams at the next level? He's talking about Cleveland, Cincinnati, New England, Denver, all teams that are possibly showing interest. You know, what do you think?
Well, I think he'd be a great fit, Joe. He talks about making plays with the ball in his hands. He can help out on special teams, kick punt returner. You can put him in the slot. I don't think he's an ideal guy that can play on the outside. But in Josh McDaniel's system in Denver, what he did with Wes Welker, I could see Gilliard doing a lot of similar things. You could put him in New England. You could put him in Cleveland. Cincinnati with Ocho Cinco, you move him inside. They need another threat. I think all those teams fit Gilliard well, but he's a slot guy who can help out on special teams, run reverses too, just a dynamic X factor on an offense.
Yeah, and that's a good point about the special teams. A lot of times that gets overlooked, but the value he brings to the table as a return man was very dangerous at Cincinnati this past year. Was an All-American kick returner. I mean, you can't really put a price on what that guy can bring to an aspect of the game that's so often overlooked when we talk about special teams. You know, moving forward now, we're about 6 weeks out. When you look at the draft and you look at the way things are starting to shape up, is Gilliard a guy you see that can go in the first round?
No, I don't think he's a first rounder. When you look at the wide receivers, you have guys, Dez Bryant leads the way. Then the next tier is Aurelius Ben, Brandon LaFell, Golden Tate. I think those guys, possibly one of them could slip into the late first. Most of those guys are second rounders. Then once those guys are off the boards, then we'll see Gilliard come and play, possibly as a late second, maybe a third rounder. But if he falls to the third, Joe, I mean, we can both agree that's an absolute steal. He's a guy that can come in right away and help the offense move the chains, be dynamic, and then, like as you said, help out on special teams as well.
Yeah, and let's not forget the first round this year with the way it's shaping out between offensive and defensive linemen, very deep for a draft at both positions. So kind of a lot of these other positions are going to get kind of pushed to the back burner as people stockpile their picks from the trenches. So another reason that could slip him past the first round. But you're right, if he falls anywhere near the third round, that's an absolute steal. Bunning, as always, excellent job, my friend. It was great to talk to you this morning. Great to talk to Marty as well. Glad to see you're not on the pina coladas at 9:30 a.m. this morning. You do deserve a certain level of commendment for that. So congratulations. Any last words?
Well, I had to clean up, Joe. I'm back in the game now. I mean, the National Football Post does its greatest week in the history of the Post the week I'm gone. So I got to pick my game up right now or else I'm on the way out. So
yeah, you're right. You are on the chopping block. Trade rumors are surrounding that you might be shipped out of town in return for a compensation pick in next year's seventh round. So that's what you're worth right now to us. No, I'm just kidding.
Just don't send me the Raiders, Joe. Just don't send me the Raiders.
If we send you to Raiders, maybe we could get like a second round pick. But last I checked, you're not that fast. You've spoken about that before, that you don't have exactly blinding speed, if I'm not mistaken.
No, not at all, man. I mean,
so you got no place in Oakland.
I have no place in Oakland, but they'll take Bowen before me. So.
Him and his reconstructed knee and his brand new minivan that he's rolling around Chicago in right now. That fits the black hole way of life, is the minivan and the blown out knee.
Yeah, well done, Matt.
All right, well, that about wraps this edition of the Road to the NFL series here at the NFP Up. For Wes Bunning, I'm Joe Fortenbaugh. Everyone, thanks for tuning in. We'll be pumping out the podcast from now until the draft, so be sure to check back with us. We'll see you next time.